Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I love to do word studies. We're going to do a word study in the entire chapter of Psalm 119. They said I could go as long as I want. Staff pick on me because my heart gets so touched when I hear them testify and sing. I fall to pieces. They say it's because you're old and tired. And I might be old and I might be tired, but that's not the only reason. It's just, I'm just amazed at what God is doing. You know, I heard all these stories. 6 years I climbed your mountains to try to find a place for a camp. And I climbed a mountain not too far from here called Monadnock. And really for a while maybe even thought we'd be right here in the Jaffrey area. But it's so unbelievable to see what God has been doing. Last night, I don't know how many of you noticed the moon last night. Was it the same over here in Dublin as it was over there? Okay. It was just incredible. And the reflection, you know, the moon is reflector. And I stood up at our cross and just prayed for our staff in the camp. Look, I won't be old long here. Just bear with me, okay? Just think of what God's doing right here in New England. You know, the power of God is not boxed in just by a bunch of cranky Yankees. It is not, okay? And God can do His work. And watch what we're watching is kids and teens, New Englanders, get a heart for God and just say, let's go up in the hill and sit down and tear a verse apart and meditate on it. You ever hear a 14-year-old say that? This is what God's doing. And my prayer is that, you know, when I get real old like Kevin, you know, that maybe by that time, we'll just see just incredible, incredible impact in all our local churches. I am thankful and overwhelmed that God allows us to be here. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you stay clean in this wicked, wicked world that we live in? How many of you have children? Let me see your hands. How many of you have grandchildren? Let me see your hands. How many of you have the most intelligent, best-looking grandchildren in all the world? Let me see your hands. You want those kids to stay close to God? You want them to walk with God? You want them to be able to live in this wicked world without being tainted and destroyed and ruined by sin? How does this happen? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I do. I wish we didn't have to raise kids in this world today. You probably heard me say, I wish we could live back in the days of Little House on the Prairie. Then all we'd have to deal with was Nellie's attitude. But we don't live in that day. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? How do you stay clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. And come on, some of you have been saved a long time. There's some in here who have been saved over 60 years. We get to the point where we just kind of coast, you know, been there, done that. Yeah, pray, have devotions. And we don't seek Him with our whole hearts. There's some in this room right now that you, because of the extra time you have, could become one of the most incredible prayer warriors for New England that New England has ever seen. I'm talking about even the years of Whitfield and Edwards and all those guys. Yet today, did you know that George Whitfield is dead? He is. I know some of you went to high school with him, but I understand. He's not alive anymore. He's dead. If God wanted him to be alive today, he would be here. But he's not. So maybe God wants to use you instead. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not, say the next word, wander. I doubt there's one of us in this room that would wake up in the morning and say, okay, that's it. I'm going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to live for Him anymore. I'm going to go out and get in sin. I'm going to destroy it all. We don't do that. We slowly wander away. Now, as a kid, I had lived with my grandparents for a number of years. My folks split up. And Granddad lived in northeastern Pennsylvania, way out in the rural area. And one morning I got up and I said, Granddad, I think I need to go explore the woods. He said, no, I don't think that'd be wise. I was only about 9 or 10. He said, you know, there's a lot of woods, you'll probably get lost. I said, not me, Granddad. I know those woods like the back of my hand. I taught Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone everything they know. I can do this. And I finally talked him into it. So I went out and I'm starting to explore through the woods. And all of a sudden, as I'm going through the woods, I saw a deer. I started chasing the deer. I'm not sure what I would have done if I caught the deer, but I'm chasing the deer through the woods. And then all of a sudden, the deer is like gone. And I'm looking around and I don't recognize anything. And 1 hour turned into 2 hours and turned into 3 hours. I was getting scared. It was starting to get dark. I had no idea what was out there in those woods. There could have been, I don't know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, yes, I had no idea. But I do know that I was very, very scared, and it was very, very dangerous for a little kid to be lost in the woods like that. But you know, folks, there's something much, much more dangerous. I had wandered off a path, but I got a question for all of us. Have you ever wandered away from God? Or let me put it this way. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Do you remember the day that you got saved? And the burden of sin was lifted. You couldn't wait to tell all your friends. Look, you go home and lead all your dogs to the Lord. I mean, it is just so overwhelmed that you are now Christian. Do you remember when you first had devotions and really got something out of it? Couldn't wait to get to church. When you led that first soul to Christ. It's one of the joys of working at the Wilds with all these college kids. I can see it in their eyes. I'm dressed up as a king. I'm ready to do fun time. We're ready to see pudding and bananas everywhere. And counselors are running in, crying, throw their arms around and say, "Man, I just led my first soul to the Lord." Do you remember those days? How long ago did they quit? Well, let me not wander. Sometimes it's wandering eyes. We live in a pretty wicked world. And it's so easy to go home and be entertained through the internet or TV. Can't hardly walk into town or go to a mall without your eyes wandering. Sometimes it's a wandering tongue. You guys here at Mountain View have not had the easiest last couple years in transition. Transitions are never fun. Nobody's talked to me, but I assume it's pretty easy to find someone to blame. Get together with a couple of friends, a little tongue wag here and a tongue wag here, instead of just, you know, really going either to the individual or just going to God and saying, "Lord, we need help. Give us wisdom what to do." Sometimes it's our thoughts wandering. Have you ever been sitting right here in this church on a Sunday morning, and whoever's speaking, you know, they've worked all week, and they studied, and you're out there thinking, you're kind of nodding, "Yeah, this is good." You're thinking, "Should I go all the way to Keene? Olive Garden, or should we go to Outback today? Man, Outback's so busy, you know. Maybe, oh." You ever let your mind wander like that? Have you ever been praying and just pouring your heart out to God, and all in the, right in the middle of the prayer, you remember something you forgot to do? Your mind wanders. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How do you stay clean in a wicked world? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do you stop wandering? How do you stay as close to God as you were that day when you first trusted Him? The word "take heed" is one word, literally. And technically the term means this. It means to envelope around, to encircle, to totally surround yourself. Okay? It's like building walls around a castle or a moat. It's like building a thicket around you, kind of like what God did with Job, you know, and put a hedge about him. It's totally engulfing yourself in the Word of God. People ask me often, "Rand, like, when are you going to grow up, get a real job?" You know, probably never, all right? But there's two reasons I still work with teens. I'm only 14. I'm not that old, but I'm not doing the 50 thing, okay? And there's two reasons. One, I love what I do. I do. I love getting up in the morning and staying there and watching what God's doing and walking to the house at midnight and doing it again the next day. I love it. But there is a second reason that I do what I do. I was a program director in North Carolina at the Wilds for 25 years. Went through probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 different program men. And what they do is they come in, there's 8 or 9 of them, and kind of like what Jordan's doing this summer, and they'll come in for 3 or 4 years, and then they move on to another ministry, and being the kind-hearted individual I am, we normally give them a going-away party, and you know, taking, you know, a fancy restaurant or something worse, like throw him in the lake or down the water slide or whatever it might be. I remember one guy named Dan, we took him out to eat, real fancy restaurant. And after we're done eating, we were so full, we're standing out in the parking lot of the Pizza Hut, and we're just standing there talking. All of a sudden, there were 7 of us surrounding him, and he looked, he said, "Guys, you can't..." By that point, we threw him on the ground. I just happened to have the duct tape with me, you know, and I duct taped his feet together and his hands together. One of the other guys, he did, he brought one of those, that clingy stuff, that saran wrap stuff you can see through, and we made a mummy out of Dan, totally made a mummy out of him, took him to our grocery store, put him in a shopping cart, pushed him by the checkout counter, and we left him there for a half hour. We really did. I made a little sign, we'll work for food, and stuck it right on him because he couldn't move. We let him breathe. Finally, I thought, guys, this isn't much fun. We're just sitting out in the parking lot, not really wanting to be seen. And so I said, I tell you what, guys, you want to go bowling? We'll take Dan, plop him in the lane next to us. If he gets out, he can bowl with us. So we went and got Dan, threw him in the back of the van, literally, got in the bowling alley. The problem was when we pulled in the bowling alley, that's when the police surrounded us, and we did have some explaining to do, okay? But Dan, he was so wrapped up in that stuff, he couldn't think. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. Folks, wouldn't it be so amazing if we were so wrapped up in the very words of God that we couldn't speak, we couldn't think, we couldn't do anything? How do you take heed? How do you engulf yourself? How do you wrap yourself up with the very words of God? Look down at the text again. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. You want to wrap yourself up with the very words of God? Number one, do this. Realize who said it. Say it with me. Realize who said it. Who wrote the Bible? God. Through man. All scripture is given by, say it. Alright, I'm going to treat you like teens. I hope you're okay with this. Inspiration means God breathed, right? Take your hand, put it in front of your mouth right now. And repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? Did you? God breathed. He spoke. God says, I have something I want you to know, but I know how quickly you forget, so I'm going to write it down for you. God wrote a book. Is that book part of your life, kids? If you have an argument with brother or sister, we say, Mom said. Dad said, guess what, folks? God said it. He spoke it. The Word of God is quick. What does that mean? It's alive. It's living. In the past 4 weeks, no, the past 5 weeks, even staff training, I saw the living Word of God reach into hearts and they go, oh, wow, I've never seen this before. College students saying, God's making me grow and change. You're not going to get that from any other book. Except the book that God wrote. It is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. Energeto. Realize who said it. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Not only realize who said it, but number two, repeat it. Say that with me. Repeat it. What do you talk about? Seriously. What do you talk about? What do you type? What do you text? However you communicate now. How do you communicate? What do you communicate? Now, I got teens down. You know the number one thing that most teenage girls talk about? Teenage boys. You know the number one thing most teenage boys talk about? Food, sports, drugs, and finally teenage girls. Yeah. You talk about what you think about, and you think about what you love. Do you love God? I'm serious. This is not age sensitive. Do you truly love God? If you do, do you talk about Him to people you meet in town? Do you talk about Him with your own family? Ladies, do you remember a time when your husband, sometime during the day, just came up and said, oh, hon, I got to tell you what I got from my devotions this morning. Kids, you ever do that with mom and dad? Mom, dad, let me tell you what I learned today. All you kids, teens in here right now, listen very closely to me. You have my permission to do something this coming week. You get to do it twice. You go to your mom and dad, and you can go to your grandparents too, okay? And all I want you to do, kids, is ask mom or dad or your grandparents, hey, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, what did you get out of your devotions this morning? You have my permission to do that, okay? Parents, beware. Do you want to get your kids to love the Word of God? Then love the Word of God. Take your grandkids out. Well, you used to take them out for a Coke. Now you take them for a latte and have to mortgage your house to get it. But anyway, take them out. Sit down. Talk about what God has done for you. I was preaching in Maine. Old guy comes up. I'm not coming to the meeting tomorrow night. I said, why not? I said, got to get my hay in. I said, what time are you doing hay? He looked at me. I said, what time? Probably about 10 o'clock. How many hours? He said, take me 5. I said, I'll be there. We'll do it in 3. We took all his hay in, stacked it in the mound. He was a crusty old guy. He finally looked at me after all the work was done. He goes, you made me mad at Sunday. I said, why? Because you talked about my grandkids. I've never told my grandkids how I got saved. You help me with the hay. I'll be there tonight, but tomorrow I'm taking a trip to go see my grandkids and tell them about how God saved me. Don't let your kids wonder. Grandpa, don't let them, I hope Granddaddy was saved. Talk. You want to wrap yourself up in the very words of God, realize who said it. Number 2, repeat it. Look at the next verse, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, realize who said it, repeat it, talk about it. But number 3, rejoice in it. Say it with me. Rejoice in it. How do you rejoice in the word of God? He tells us. God writes it down. As much as in all riches. I do work for the Wilds, and I do get to travel a lot, but to make a little bit of money on the side, I'm also a representative for IBM Computer. And actually, in the back of my truck, I have 4 laptops for promotional reasons, and we'll just put them out in the lobby today after the service. We'll do a little drawing, put your name in a hat or a little bowl there, and then 4 of you get to go home with a new laptop. I also am a representative for Ford Motor Company, and I have 6 brand new 2012 Mustang convertibles coming into the parking lot here about 12:30. And if you want, you put your little name in a hat and draw, and you're sitting there thinking, is he telling the truth about these computers? I know he's not telling the truth about the Mustang, so I'm lying about both of them, okay? But you know what it's like when you do? You get a new iPod, an iPad, a new computer, get a new couch, new garment, whatever it might be. It's something new. You move into a new house. You get that new car, that new truck. It even smells new. You know how cool that is? So, folks, when was the last time you had that same thrill of heart because of some truth in the Word of God? It just grabbed your heart and your life and thought, yes, I'm going to keep living for God. A couple years ago, before we had this property, I'm somewhere in Vermont, driving down the Interstate 91. I had an attitude. I had a big attitude. I'm thinking I could be in North Carolina where I've lived for 25 years just preaching and writing and haven't seen my wife for 2 weeks. I'm sick and tired of traveling and hiking all these properties and looking for a camp and Lord, this is not right. It's not fair. Lord, what's going on? I'm 50 now and I should be. I had an attitude. Bad. And it got worse and worse. And finally I thought, okay, the next exit that I see a coffee shop, I just got to go sit down. And I normally don't do this. I went in the coffee shop, I sat down, I took my Bible, and I normally don't do this. But I just said, Lord, I'm going to open my Bible. Wherever you point me to, that's what I'm going to read. Paul. Shipwrecked. Left for dead, beaten, thinking, wow, haven't been shipwrecked in Vermont one time. Haven't been beaten at all. Staying in nice prophet's chambers and comfortable motels. Carrying my own pillow with me, actually my own blanket, so I'm doing okay there. And okay, Lord, thank you. Got back in my car and kept on going. That was the truth. They kept me from complaining. So when you get down and you want to give up and you want to quit, where do you go? Your first thought is, who do I need to call? I need to text one of the kids. I need to talk to mom and dad. Wouldn't it be amazing if we just immediately went to God and let Him comfort our hearts? Rejoice in it. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. Reflect on it. Say it with me. Reflect on it. To reflect, to think, to concentrate, to contemplate, to ponder, to consider, to mull over in your mind. Think. I think we're sitting in a room that, if I'm not mistaken, used to be a dairy farm. Am I right? How many of you live in a farm? Let me see your hands. Oh boy. How many have ever been on a farm? How many ever say, oh, McDonald had a farm, okay? Oh, I grew up working on the farm. And My daughter-in-law, her dad's a dairy farmer in Michigan. I've been there to help move his cattle. A barn much like this. And if you've ever milked cows, you know it's not necessarily easy, okay? But I'm going to make this, Kevin, I'll make it real easy for you folks here, okay? The girl cows, those are the ones we get the milk from, okay? The white ones, we get white milk. The black ones, chocolate milk. You got all that, okay? Well, what they do is they get up early in the morning and they eat the grain or the grass. And then what happens is they ruminate. That it's this meditation is an agricultural concept, okay? They chew it over and over. Literally, they chew their cud, okay? And then after they chew up that food, they swallow it and it goes in a certain stomach. Kids, they have a couple different stomachs, these cows do, okay? So if they ate at 6 in the morning, then I don't know, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock, they get hungry again, they just burp that food back up into their mouth. Chew it up again. Swallow and put it in another stomach. 3:30 in the afternoon, they get hungry again, puke it back up in their mouth, chew it up again, swallow it again. That's the way God made cows. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows, not men like cows? Because they could be here right now thinking, how long is Rand going to go? I'm getting a little hungry. Ooh, honey nut cheers. Boom, and bring it back up. Now, we don't do that. But now, the reason the cow does that is she wants to get every nutrient out of it. Not let one little word get by. That's meditation. Reflection. Like, take a verse like, I don't know, Isaiah 26:3. The beginning of it. Thou keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou. It's talking about God. So you help me out. Give me one character trait or one characteristic of God. We'll be first. Raise your hand. Tell me one thing you know about your God, okay? He never changes. Immutable. Ladies, you changed your mind 3 times this morning about what you're going to wear to come to church. God never changes His mind. He's immutable. You heard one testify about forgive and forget? God chooses not to think about our sin. He doesn't forget it. He can't. Because He's immutable and changing, His knowledge can never change. It goes against that characteristic. So He's an unchanging God. Somebody else, what do you know about your God? Let me see your hand. Okay, yes, sir.
Personal.
I'm sorry?
Personal
God. Aren't you glad? Yeah, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake and he was called a what? Friend of God. You can go to your friend and talk anytime. Because he believed God. That was it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's a personal. He is my God and I am His. Somebody else. What else do you know about God? Yes, sir.
He is everywhere.
Omnipresent. You cannot hide from God, can you? And why would you want to? Unless you're in sin. We were talking on the way here about praying and how we say praises probably we shouldn't. I think Rebecca said something about praying that God would be with somebody. Duh. He is. Let's pray that that person will recognize God's presence. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will abide in your heart by faith. His omnipresence. A couple more. Who else? Somebody. Yes, way in the back. Unconditional love. Yeah. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? He loves us when we're unlovely. He says, no, Rand, see, if I'm really good and keep the right standards and don't do anything, He's going to love me more than somebody else. Uh-uh. Luke 6, He loved the guy that rejected Him. It said He loved him. For God so loved the what? World. He loves people that do not love Him. You can't earn God's love. He doesn't love you more when you're really, really good or less when you're really, really bad. He chooses to love us. Even when we're unlovely. He keeps loving us. Isn't that great? A couple more. What else do you know about your God? Okay? He is jealous. What does that mean? You see, God is not jealous of. It's not like teens that like getting them, you know, you like her mom, you like me stuff. Okay? It's not that. God is jealous for us. See, He loves us so much. He knows what can come into our lives, what kind of sin, and grab a hold of our hearts and pull us away from Him. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want these lustful, wicked, lazy lusts stealing our hearts from Him. He's a jealous God. Somebody else. Yes?
Powerful. He says, I am.
I am. Fill in the blank. He is powerful, omnipotent, almighty. Never forget that. You say, but Satan's pretty strong. Uh-huh. Took a third of the angels with him, didn't he? We still got them outnumbered 2-1. Okay, don't get scared. We have a wonderful, powerful God. He is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is unchanging, immutable. He is a jealous God. He's a loving God. Two more. What else you know about your God? Yes. He is just. He is fair. You can never, ever accuse God of being unfair. And being just as our judge, because of His omniscience, His knowledge, He not only knows what we do, but why we do it. Guys, He knows your every thought. Does that scare you? And He still treats us justly. Wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? One more. Yes. He is good all the time. We just had Brother Tom Farrell, Double Barrel Farrell, preaching at the Wilds. God is good all the time. You got that? Say it with me, everybody. God is good
all the time.
He is good. He is always good. If a man prays and asks his father for a piece of bread, will he give him a stone? If you ask him for something to eat, like maybe a fish, will he give him a serpent, a scorpion? If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how about our heavenly Father that knows everything we need? Thou. Talking about God. He is loving, unchanging, omnipresent, omnipotent. He is just. This God says, thou wilt. There's a promise. Keep means to guard him. Who? Little old me. In perfect peace, knowing everything is right between me and God and me and others. What's the condition? Whose mind is stayed on thee? When my mind is committed on him. Okay, folks, you know what we just did for the last 4 minutes? We meditated on God. You like forgot you were in church. You're sitting here thinking, oh, what's another characteristic of God? Oh, I hope he doesn't call me, but if he does, I'm going to say this one. We are. We're meditating. You can do that every morning. You can do that as a family. You can do that with your friends. Meditate. Reflect on it. Look at verse 15, the end of the verse. And it says, and have respect unto thy ways. Not only do you realize who said it, repeat it, rejoice in it, reflect on it, but number 5, respect it. Respect the Word of God. Respect is living with the words, yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. God says, I want you to be holy, and you say, yes, sir. I want you to be kind and loving and not harsh to your wife. Yes, sir. I want you to share what I've done for you with your friends at work or the people you bump into. Yes, sir. I want you to treat your brothers and sisters with love and stop fighting with them. Yes, sir. Respect the Word of God. Live with it, yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. Look at verse 16. It says at the beginning of the verse, I will delight myself in thy statutes, to take pleasure in, to enjoy, to appreciate, to find satisfaction. I use the word to relish it. Do you love the Word of God? Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Let me say that again, then I want you to say it with me. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Say it with me. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Back year 2000, 2001, somewhere back there, Amber and I and our son and his wife took 6-8 weeks and traveled through New England, January and February. You can see we're not true evangelists, but we were going through New England, driving on top of the snow, and went to Maine for a couple of our meetings. Cold? Yeah. The birds up there wear earmuffs. It's just amazing. It really is. So we were up in Maine, and we were staying at this home. And they asked us, have you ever had Maine lobster? I said, no. I'd never had it. I maybe in a salad or something. But they said, well, this week we're going to have it. So on Thursday night, she brought these lobsters home. They were like, they were huge. I remember taking a pencil and sticking it into one claw and messing around with them, you know. And so, dumb me, I'm standing there in the kitchen messing around with these guys. And I said, well, how do you cook a lobster? I had no idea whatsoever. She said, we just get this big pot, this big pan, and put water in it. Put it on the stove and get it boiling, and then put them in. I said, you boil them to death? Well, Amber is just, she loves animals and kind and all that. And so at this point, she kindly left the room, you know. So she went into the living room. She wasn't about to see them, you know, put these guys in that scalding water. And so as she's walking out of the kitchen, I asked another one of those stupid questions. I said, well, do they like make noises when they die? I didn't know. And she looks at me and rolls her eyes like she didn't answer, but Amber didn't see that. So Amber's in the living room and I'm standing in the doorway and here's the kitchen. I said, here they go, hon. She's picking them up. She's got the lid off the water. She's putting them in the water. Because these little tiny forks, and we dipped it in that white meat, and then I dipped it in that low sodium, low fat, low cholesterol butter, and wow, And I took a bite out of that. Oh, it was unbelievable. I could not wait to get another taste of that. You know what my Bible says? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what's going to happen if you learn to meditate on the Word and respect it, reflect on it, and rejoice on it? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to wake up one morning. You have your alarm set for, say, 6:30. It's 5:42. And your first thought is, yes, I get an extra half hour with God today. That will happen if you simply learn to wrap yourself up with the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander. How have you been wandering away from God? I was only 9 and I was really, really scared. I thought at that age I was probably going to die out there in the woods. But I kept hiking and finally, it was almost dark. I came to the edge of the woods. You could just enough light to see across the field. A farmer was leaning against his truck looking my way. Almost like he was expecting me. And the reason was, he was expecting me. My granddad knew the woods a lot better than I did. And he knew if I got lost, where I'd come out a couple miles away. He called his friend and asked him if he'd wait for me. If you've been wandering away from God, He knows where you are. And He does. He wants you to come home. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. The Word of God is not difficult to understand. There's some passages that take a lot of intense study, and I understand. But not this one. We're prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. In our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. And is it not directly associated with your time with God? You say, but Rand, I am so busy. Then you're too busy. You've got to study your life schedule and get something out of it so you can spend time with God. See, I'm so tired. I can't get up in the morning. They that wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run, not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. I promise you, this will happen. How many this morning would simply say, Rand, will you ask that question if I've ever been closer to God than I am right now? Yeah? I have been. My devotional life has become very mechanical. I just do it because I'm supposed to do it. But it's not like I'm excited about talking to God and sitting down and pulling out a love letter that God wrote to me. You say, I want to be back to where I was. I don't want to wander. I want that same zeal and that same intensity and that same drive to please Him, to love Him. I really, really do. And you would say, Ren, please pray for me this morning. God has spoken to my heart. And there are some things that need to change. Can I see your hands high, please, all over? Just lift them up high. God bless you. Many hands. There might be someone here this morning who says, Rand, I've never wandered from God because I've never trusted Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. I'm not even sure where I'll spend eternity when I die. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. And I'm confused, but I need to know more. I want to know more. Please, pray for me. Is there anyone here this morning? Can I see your hand? I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. Anyone at all? Christian, I don't know what you normally do here at your church. But in a minute, we're not going to sing, but I would like to ask if the piano could quietly play. And if you want to kneel there at your seat or come down to the front. But would you show God the seriousness of the decision of your heart? Isaiah 66 says, who does God look for? Those who are humble, contrite of spirit, get this, and trembles, the Lord says, at my word. And when God grips our heart, it encourages us to change. the least we can do is humble ourselves before Him, get on our knees, thank Him for His forgiveness, commit to Him that concentrated time to go into your closet and shut the door and tune the world out and turn to your Lord and talk to Him. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'd like to ask you to just keep your heads bowed, and then after I'm done praying, as the piano plays, if God's spoken to you, why don't you just talk to Him and ask Him for His grace to help you change. Father, thank You for the obvious conviction You put in all our hearts this morning. We do. We wander so quickly. The minute just something that we have maybe even struggled with in the past comes back and the temptation is there again. Lord, we're so weak. I know You know this. Lord, You told us in Your Word that You know our frame. You remember we're dust. We are weak. And without You, we can do nothing. But with You, we can do all things. I want to be able to pray like David. Oh, how I love Your law. It's my meditation all the day. How sweet are Your precepts. I long for Your truth. Father, I pray that there'll be individuals in this congregation that will be different these coming weeks because of their renewed commitment to You and Your Word. Thank You for convicting our hearts this morning. As the piano quietly plays, why don't you talk to God?